Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Tuesday, and I do mean that. Peter King is with us. It'll be great to have Peter on board. He was here in Arizona, sat down with Ty Matthew, was at the Cardinal game, of course. We get the thoughts from Peter King. That comes up at 10:20 on the Cardinals and moving forward in his view of what's going on with Bruce Arians and his team. Rich Rodriguez is going to be with us today from Tucson, and I think it's about time with Rich just to get caught up. It's been a disappointing season, and they just continue to be besieged with injury, the same with ASU. The Wildcats play Stanford. It's homecoming for U of A this Saturday. It's an 8 o'clock kick. They've had one day game in like the last 2 years. This is the first time they've had a bye in 2 years. And he's just been nailed with injuries right and left. And, you know, Anu Solomon, it was his knee or was it the concussions? We'll get into that with Rich Rodriguez. That comes up at about 10:35. Michael Fabiano, it is Tuesday, all things fantasy football. We're on the National Football League, NFL Network, senior fantasy analyst, very popular segment with Michael Fabiano. That comes up on the show today as well. Tonight is game one of the World Series. Very much looking forward to this with Chicago and Cleveland. So how much would you spend on World Series tickets? How far would you go on this? Darren Ravel had a tweet out earlier that $32,000 for four seats behind the Cubs dugout tonight. $32,000. Now, Eric, that's like a month for you here. And what I'm wondering is at $32,000, I don't know how much I'd spend. If the money weren't the object, I guess. But is it an experience that I'm not a Cubs fan, I'm not an Indians fan, I don't care. All I know is I'm going to see very entertaining baseball. But so I can't say I'd spend a $500 or a $1,000 or
yeah. The people that are paying for those tickets are in a completely different space than we are.
Sure. Anyway,
if money didn't
speak for yourself,
if money didn't mean anything,
right,
then I guess I wouldn't have a problem if I really wanted to go to the game.
But as a sports fan,
$32,000.
As a sports fan, do you have to be there behind the dugout if money weren't the option? Put the money off to the side. Do you really have to? Like for you, if money weren't the option, you would be at every TCU game.
Yes.
Right. Home and road. You would go
probably not the road games, but the home games for sure.
Yeah?
And I'm there. We're there enough where I'm actually considering just getting season tickets.
Are you?
Because it's not that much more expensive.
Wow. So if you're a sports fan, tonight would you rather be at the Cavaliers-Knicks game, which is right next door?
Yep.
And the Cavs are going to get their rings, and Derrick Rose starts. The NBA season opens tonight, guys. And Derrick Rose is going to be on the floor. And there's always going to be a game, too.
True.
Could I take in, like, the first half of the NBA game and walk next door? You know there's going to be some people that do that.
I would just wait. I would go and see the Cavs get their rings and then hustle across the street and go watch the baseball game.
Because an NBA game, you could even walk back in, like, the fourth quarter.
Sure.
Just check Twitter when there's, like, 8 minutes to go when they really do play hard. You know, that's when you want to go see NBA games. So that's going on tonight. Jason Kipnis brought up a very interesting point. Jason Kipnis, of course, a former Arizona State Sun Devil. Great angle in the World Series this year. He brought up the angle that he believes that Steve Bartman should be throwing out the first pitch when the games are in Chicago. This is coming from an Indians player. He'd like to see Steve Bartman throwing out a first pitch. Now, we all remember what happened with Steve Bartman. We all know about the baseball. We all know that his life was turned upside down. We've seen the footage of him just ridiculed, ostracized, death threats, the whole 10 yards. We've seen the look of Steve Bartman. We don't know where Steve Bartman is these days.
But we do. But we do.
Really?
You know why? Because Steve Bartman has a spokesperson.
And oh!
Every person who is famous. See, you don't have a spokesperson. I don't have a spokesperson.
No, you're my spokesperson.
Yeah,
and I'm your spokesperson.
True, huh?
So, you know, we're famous in our own minds.
So here's the deal. The USA Today caught up with Bartman's spokesperson. He is not going to be attending the games. He is not going to be throwing out the first pitch. He declined to say if Bartman has attended a game at Wrigley since the incident.
That means he has.
Most likely, yes. He still lives in the suburbs. He's still listed under his name. He's just gone underground. And all Steve Bartman wants to do is be left alone. And you know what? I can't blame the guy. So
See, now, I think what Kipnis said is smart on one hand.
I'd love to see him throw out the first pitch.
Do you know what the number for Fox?
Ugh.
Like, this week, Fox Sports 1 released, and they've been running these promos, we're the most watched sports network, and the numbers prove that. They've had more people than ESPN in the last week. They finally had some programming that people are going to watch in big numbers. So,
and ESPN clearly changed their dress code over the last couple weeks when it comes to their female anchors.
Oh, my gosh. Because
ratings are down. Oh, my goodness. Hello.
Oh, my gosh.
Hi, SportsCenter. Nice to see you.
Tuck those things in.
Woo.
Jeez. Oh, man. Pinky alerts. What is the deal here? That's where you're going to go, huh? That's
sex sells, right?
Evidently not if they're getting hammered like this. But the thing about Bartman is, if he throws out the first pitch and the Cubs lose, right?
Great point. Oh, my gosh. Never even thought of that. Stay away.
If he throws out the first pitch and they get give up 10 runs in the first inning, this guy's over. People will try to track him down. So, you know, when I first heard this, it was, well, that's kind of smart. And then the more I thought about it, the more it's, yeah, but what if the Cubs just get destroyed the night that Bartman throws out a first pitch? Would I like to see, we're going to have Peter here in a few minutes. So Peter King is a great journalist, and I think Peter would appreciate, because he's a big baseball fan too, chasing the Steve Bartman story. Anybody would want to put that one out there, I would think, because they're going to refer to it. I saw where some Indians fans are wanting to bring Billy Goats to the games in Chicago. Of course they are. The curse of the Billy Goat lives. Hey, do you have the tickets for the game? Why, yes. I put them on my MasterCard. That's great. Did you fill up the car with gas as we're driving there to save money? Why, sure we did. Are we taking the van or are we taking the little Subaru? Because we have the Billy Goats we have to bring. Oh, you're right. I totally forgot about that. Of course we have room to bring Billy Goats to the baseball game. Do you have a job? Why, yes. I'm a stockbroker, 40 hours a week. Yeah, but do you bring the Billy Goats with you to watch your baseball team play? How smart is this? Like, Charlie Sheen was going to throw out the first pitch for the Indians because, of course, it's Charlie Sheen and his tie to the Indians. And then you have Steve Bartman being thrown out there to throw out a first pitch. We would love to see it. Fox, I would think, would send the Uber over to pick them up to get those things accomplished. This is what we want to see. Never mind about Andrew Miller coming in the fifth game or fifth inning of a game and it's over. Because once Andrew Miller comes out of the swinging gate, it's over. He's that good for Cleveland. I don't know too many people from Cleveland that are excited for this World Series more than my friend Jude LaCava over at Fox 10. We had him on this last week. There's some guys around town, but primarily it's 90% Cubs fans or a bunch of bandwagon fans. And they don't have a sense of humor. When I write that they're these battling Cubbies, I get pummeled. Because Cubs fans, they just have a thin skin about them. They do. Have a sense of humor. Enjoy the moment. You've made it to the World Series. The rest of it is gravy, okay? If you lose the World Series, it's not Steve Bartman's fault for not showing up. And it's not the guy from Cleveland who took the Billy Goats and the Subaru to show up at your game. It's just not. It's fun. This is sports. It's not brain surgery. I feel much better now. You were at Bruce Arians yesterday. I was not. How was that? Was it like a morgue or?
No, it wasn't a morgue. He was short with some answers. He was long and thoughtful with some answers.
Yeah.
There was probably a little bit of second guessing on his part on some of calls that he made.
How could there not be?
Sunday.
How could there not be?
He's never one to come forward and say, yeah, I probably should have done this instead of that in this situation. But, Chandler Catanzaro was his kicker. He was asked if he is still confident in him, and he said yes. And
that's what's he going to say? No.
That's the only thing that he said.
No, I'm not confident in him, but he's still on
the
roster.
And I'm paraphrasing. It was something to that effect.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know verbatim what he was asked, but.
Peter King's going to be with us here in about 3 minutes. Brock Osweiler, you know I'm not the biggest fan on this guy.
Nope.
He left ASU high and dry, and I know when people say go Sun Devils and Pitchfork and Sparky and all that stuff, it's like he walked on Todd Graham. He left the program completely high and dry. And $17 million cap hit in a year, he's been more than underwhelming.
He's just so inaccurate.
Oh, my gosh.
It wasn't until I actually started watching the Texans from time to time, because they're in prime time way too many times.
Way too much, because of J.J. Watt. That's it.
Yeah.
Let's put J.J. Watt on. Well, he's hurt. Well,
easy
now
passes, Brad.
Team.
Easy NFL throws.
The one that came out of his hand?
He's just sailing the ball high, and he did not play well. And that's not a very good team. That's not a very good division.
And they're in first place.
Yeah, it's
you know,
not,
you're gonna play Brian Hoyer? Come on. Should you have kept Brian Hoyer rather than Brock Osweiler? Should you have still had Brian Hoyer there, or Case Keenum there, or any of these guys that bounce around the league?
I mean, I'm sure John Elway was happy last night.
Oh, of course he had to be.
Big smile on his face, like, ha-ha, I told you so. Yeah. That's why we didn't pay you.
Did you see where the Suns said adios to Archie Goodwin?
I did.
I was a bit surprised by that.
They tried to trade him, and the market was dry, and so they cut him.
So here's a guy. When we talk about players leaving college early, this is the perfect example, okay? Show a picture of Archie Goodwin, who was very good at Kentucky for a season. Not great, very good. He comes to the Suns, and they say, well, we have a first-round draft pick in Archie Goodwin. He gets the nice express flight from Phoenix to Bakersfield. It was a Bakersfield jam. He gets to know Bakersfield inside and out. Probably gets to know where the In-N-Out burgers are at Bakersfield, because that's where he's playing. When he comes to the Suns, he sits on the bench, doesn't grow as a player. Finally, the Suns have some other guards that come in, and they bring Brandon Knight in, and Devin Booker comes on board, and you have Eric Bledsoe here. So where really is the room for Archie Goodwin? It's nowhere. Archie Goodwin had a very nice end-of-a-game dunk at Utah during a couple weeks ago. I actually watched preseason basketball. But, you know, you try to develop talent, and the talent just kind of sits there and doesn't do anything, and then you end up releasing him, and who knows what's going to happen to him, versus if he had stayed in college and played the last 2 years and played lots of minutes, would he be further ahead in his draft stock much higher and just come out now? Don't know if he needed the money or not. Chances are when these kids come out early that they do. It's not good. But this is the same league that gives Michael Beasley like his sixth team to be on, and the Suns are still paying Michael Beasley. It's a joke. All right, Peter King is next. I'm going to ask him about Steve Bartman because he's such a sports fan. We'll start with that, but we'll get into the Cardinals. I want to talk to Peter about ties in the game of the NFL and why do we have ties still in the matchup with Carolina this Sunday. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmad. Now we turn our attention to Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback, SI.com, the MMQB. He joins us via Skype. And before we even get into the Cardinals game, because you were in Arizona, you were here for the game, if you're covering the World Series and you get a number or an address for Steve Bartman, are you all over that story to tell, Peter? Because that's got to be the one that most everybody in your industry wants to go after right now, right?
I feel a little bit like that's like going after a car wreck. I in a lot of ways, I've always felt this about Steve Bartman, that if you're in the stands and a ball is coming toward you, this is not like he reached 8 feet, hold me back. I got to get this foul ball. It's not like that's the way it was. I think most baseball-playing males or baseball-playing people,
sure,
at a baseball game would have reached and tried to catch that ball. That's just – I've always thought that. And that's why I think this stuff about Bartman has always been – and I understand why it's the stuff of legend. But at the end of the day – the Cubs might have made one or two plays. I think that is the classic in our sports history.
Mm-hmm.
That is the classic, let's blame some schlub in the stands because we bleeped up a playoff series. And that's exactly what the Cubs did.
Now, last week you joined us from Los Angeles. Are you planning on getting to the World Series? Because
no, I'll miss the series this year.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit tied up, and plus we have a puppy here at home. So it's always best. Having a puppy is like having a baby.
Sure.
So you live in an apartment in New York, and a puppy is sort of a full-time job. So I'm gonna skip it this year, and I'll miss it because I really love baseball. But I've been to a lot of World Series, so I have nothing to kick about.
Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback. He joins us every week. SI.com, the MMQB. It is great reading. Your takeaway, you were here in Arizona for a couple of days. You saw the game. Your takeaway now, you've had a few days to digest it from the Cardinals Seahawks.
Well, you know, so far through 7 weeks of the season, I think we can reach one conclusion about the Cardinals, and that is that if they either don't make the playoffs or they find themselves playing a wild card game on the road, you know, on wild card weekend, that the big reason is going to be because of their special teams. There has not been a special teams group on the 32 teams in the NFL that has made more big errors at big times. And right now, if the special teams are even average, the Cardinals right now would be 5-2 instead of 3-3-1. And that was a much bigger loss Sunday night, that tie for the Cardinals, than it was for Seattle. You know, because right now the Cardinals finished the year 5 out of 7 on the road, and they're 2 games behind in the loss column, you know, to Seattle. So not only does that make the game in Seattle a virtual must win, you know, they've got a very tough road in front of them, and they have almost zero margin for error.
Where do you come down on ties? So the last couple of days, there's been a lot of uproar out here, I should say, in Arizona about why are there still ties in the NFL? There's not ties in college. Shoot, Brad, there's not even ties in high school, and they don't even have ties in the postseason of the NFL. Why one set of rules in the regular season versus postseason? The union would have to be involved in this. Why are there still ties, Peter?
Well, I would agree with people who don't like ties. I would prefer that the possession rule be the same as it is right now. In fact, I would like it that each team get a possession, even if the first team would score a touchdown. But my feeling about ties is that in overtime, the game should be played after the second team gets possession. It should become sudden death. There shouldn't be a clock. You know, for a very simple reason. I think that, you know, the amount of times that you are going to play more than 15 minutes, as would have happened, you know, on Sunday, that will happen once every 2 years. There's, including playoffs, you know, there's 267 football games in a year. And, you know, I understand the union's trying to protect the players. We're only gonna allow one additional period to be played. But, you know, if once every 500 games there's an extra 5 minutes played to determine the winner, it's worth it. So I think it's a big mistake that that at some point overtime doesn't turn into sudden death.
Talk with Peter King. I saw your feature with Ty Matthew. And what was your takeaway from him in terms of physical, Peter? Because he still doesn't look at 100%.
I know. Yeah, he had a totally non-impact game on Sunday.
Yeah,
I said there's the Peter King feature jinx. you know, with Tyrann Mathieu. He told me he was about 85%. And here's his problem. He just doesn't feel like he can move laterally right now very well at all. Rodney Harrison showed a piece of tape on the Football Night show that showed Matthew needing to move laterally, and he just couldn't do it well at all. He looked very awkward. But the fact is, he's 41 weeks out from surgery, and it usually is somewhere between a year and 14 months that an ACL, especially for a position like that, where you have to cut on a dime, where everything feels absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with Tyrann Mathieu, but you know, the fact that this happened so late in the season last year, I believe week 15, and the surgery wasn't until, I believe, January 4th or 5th, then, you know, clearly, you know, if it happened, you know, significantly earlier, I think Tyrann Mathieu probably would right now not even be wearing a brace. But he's going to wear the brace for the foreseeable future, and there's just nothing he can do about it.
Before we let you go, Cardinals travel cross-country. It's a 10 a.m. Arizona time body clock game at Carolina. Two very desperate teams, and I'm understating it. What do you make out of this matchup on Sunday, Peter?
Well, I think the Panthers have had a very, very uncomfortable bye week. Because I think they understand that, I mean, maybe they don't have to run the table, but it's very close. You know, the Panthers, you would think, have to go at least like 9-1 the rest of the way, you know, to assure themselves a playoff spot. And the Cardinals, on the other hand, you know, you get a fourth loss now, and, you know, and the inability to get a win out of the tie, obviously, you know, they both need it. I think the one thing that you're going to see, that it was a good time for Carolina to have this bye. Their offensive line needed to get healthier. Their running game needed to get healthier. And, you know, I think the other thing, though, that if I am Bruce Arians, you know, if I'm Carson Palmer looking at this game, I'm saying that, hey, the absolutely most important thing in this game is we got to challenge those young cornerbacks because they're not good. And it's been shown right now in spades that giving up Josh Norman, at least in the short term, was a very big mistake for Carolina general manager Dave Gettleman. We'll see how it turns out in the long term, but in the short term, it's really hurt him. I really think that this is the game of the week. I mean, there may be better games in terms of quality and records and everything like that. Dallas and Philly is interesting. But the reason why I think this is the game of the weekend is because it's a playoff game for two playoff teams.
That's a good way to put it. Appreciate your time as always, Peter. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
It's Peter King with us via Skype from New York City. Appreciate his time as always on things around the National Football League. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Let's go to Tucson now. Rich Rodriguez with us. It is homecoming for U of A. They take on Stanford. 8 o'clock start, Fox Sports 1. They're coming off the bye week. It feels like every time I talk about U of A, they're playing in the dark. I don't know why that is, but it's just the way it's gone. They had the day game with USC and 5 games left on the season off the bye week. Rich, thanks for coming on board. I'm just curious on a big picture. Bye week probably came at a good time. How do you feel about the health of the team coming into the Stanford game?
Well, we did need it. Thanks, Brad. It's the first bye week we've had, you know, didn't have one last year and this year, so it was we're looking forward to it just more than anything else to give our guys a little bit of chance to heal, get rested up as coaches, you know, to try to figure out some things that we can do to get better. And, you know, the guys have been working hard, but we obviously for the last game were really banged up at the skill positions offensively and still a little bit banged up, certainly at tailback. Our top 3 or 4 guys aren't there, but I think we'll be able to get, you know, our quarterbacks, our experienced quarterbacks back a little bit, and that's going to allow us to do some more things offensively, and then some other guys that were banged up, we'll hopefully get them back as well.
When you go through a tough stretch, injury, some losses, do you as a staff look at your team and say, these guys just need to get away for a day or two and then come back to it? You referred to last year, he didn't even have a bye week, and I'd said even before the season started in 15, there's no way you can make it through a year without having a letdown. Do you feel like you had to have that for this team just to get away, Rich?
I think a little bit. And we gave them some extra time more than anything else because they had been working hard. And, you know, a lot of guys were playing a lot more plays than they had anticipated because of injuries. So we practiced a few days. gave the coaches a chance to go recruiting for a few days. And so I thought it was a really good week from that standpoint. And then certainly last night we got back on track with our normal schedule. But we needed it. And I think for mentally and physically, we needed it. And I think the guys seem refreshed right now.
Rich Rodriguez with us from Tucson, U of A against Stanford on Saturday night. The quarterback conundrum or the quarterback health, how do you sum it up where you are right now?
Well, yeah, it was the most challenging thing I think we've ever had, to, you know, because you're losing your – not just losing your quarterbacks but all your experience, but you're going to put a guy that you're planning on redshirting who's a 17-year-old true freshman, and certainly it's going to limit you a little bit. And the problem that we had was not just that, is that now – your experienced tailback shot. Normally, if you have an experienced tailback, he can help the quarterback, whether it's protections or some of the things that they can communicate with. And that was a little tougher. And Khalil battled and did some neat things. But, you know, they have an experience, a little bit of experience back there helped somewhat. And so we were hoping to have both Brandon Dawkins and a new Solomon back and be able to run more of our offense.
When you look at Anu and talk about him, Rich, he's been off the field for quite some time. Mm-hmm. Is it the concussion thing? Is it other parts of his body?
No, it was a knee. It had nothing to do with concussion. It was a knee that he sprained in practice and a freak injury. And, you know, it's cost him about 6 weeks. And so that was just an unlucky deal. And, thankfully he's worked hard to get back.
With Dawkins, he had some experience now, got some weeks behind him. What have you seen out of Brandon Dawkins?
Well, it was really neat to watch him, particularly against a team like Washington when he was out there and running around making plays. He's a competitive runner. I think he understands more and more of the offense the more he plays. And, I feel pretty confident with him and Anu that, you know, again, some of the stuff that we want to do or need to do to have some success will be there.
In terms of Tate, so you had to pull the red shirt off of him. To have him sit and watch the rest of the season with the red shirt being burned, is that going to be something in the back of your mind? It's like, I need to get this kid more reps or not?
Well, we want to get him more reps, but we hope we don't have to force him to play before he's ready.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah, sure.
One of those deals that, you know, we probably could do some things with him and we'll continue. He's going to continue to get reps, of course. But it's easier, I think, for him to not have to go in and be the guy right now to learn and contribute what he can.
So you could use all three conceivably, Rich?
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah, we could use all three.
Nick Wilson, so where's he at? I know you just alluded to him off the top a little bit. Where's he at this season with his
health? Yeah, he's the same way. He's been banged up all year. He's banged up right now, and we don't know how long he'll be unavailable. So that's unfortunate because obviously with J.J. Taylor, we were really excited about. I thought he was going to do phenomenal, and he was. But he's out for the year. And so we're moving some different guys back there. Samaje Grant is taking some reps there. Tyrell Johnson, of course, is taking some reps. And so that position, like the quarterback position, is taking quite a few hits this year.
Rich Rodriguez with us from Tucson, U of A, Stanford, homecoming 8:00 on Saturday night. You played Washington and you took them into overtime early in the season. I watched most of that game. There were opportunities in that one. It was a tough, hard-fought matchup. The best of the Pac-12, is it Washington in your view by a wide margin, Rich? Or you may see that team this week in Stanford, who's been beat up a little bit too. Give me a view of the Pac-12 this year.
Well, I think as people are seeing, the Pac-12 is as competitive as it's ever been. Now, obviously, Washington has been doing great, and I think everybody kind of probably predicted that. You know, if they stayed healthy, that they would be really good. And I think that's been the key. I mean, Stanford, I still think, is one of the best teams in the league, and they lost their key guy, McCaffrey,
yep,
for a little bit of time as well. But, I mean, defensively, they're phenomenal. They've been shutting everybody down, and they've lost a couple really, really close games. But it's still one of the most talented teams on our schedule, for sure.
When you look at the South so far this year, anything jump out at you about Pac-12 South? I know everybody's on Colorado's bandwagon.
Yeah, it's been wide open. It's amazing. We kind of knew Colorado was going to be better. They had gotten better. They got a really experienced team. And there's like you said, there's five weeks left. So I think you're going to see a lot of teams beat up on each other.
What has been your message to your team in these remaining 5 weeks, Rich?
Well, we just got to get better. We got to coach better. We got to play better. You know, I like the guys' attitude. They're coming to work, and everybody's hanging together. It's a tough stretch that we went through, but now we have the second half of the season. You know, we're going to just go out there and have some fun, play as hard as we can, and hopefully we can get back on the winning track.
As always, appreciate your time. Thanks, Rich.
Okay, thanks, Brett.
Rich Rodriguez from Tucson for a couple of minutes. Latest on that front. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now Michael Fabiano, direct from the NFL Network. Always good to catch up with the Hall of Famer, senior fantasy analyst, NFL.com, and the NFL Network. On his Twitter timeline, if you go see at Michael _Fabiano, you dropped a bomb on Brock Osweiler. Wow. Give me Brandon Whedon. Jeez, oh man. You're just bringing the sledgehammer out on this poor kid.
He deserves it. Listen, fantasy football owners are they're not very forgiving, and you know, you can forgive a bad game or two, but Osweiler has ruined the value of one of the best wide receivers in the National Football League in DeAndre Hopkins. Lamar Miller still played well. He was banged up a little bit last night, but everyone, including myself, thought that Osweiler was at least an upgrade over Brian Hoyer and Whedon from last season, and that simply hasn't been the case. We've actually seen this in a couple of different cities. Same thing with Blake Bortles and Allen Robinson. There have been so many wide receiver busts this year. We expected regression with some of these guys, but not complete disappearance. And Hopkins has been in that boat, and Robinson has been on that boat along with a few others.
Let me throw one at you that I think is on an uptick here, and that's Jameis Winston. He has the Raiders, the Falcons, and the Bears. I've been looking ahead at schedules. I'm set at quarterback, but Mike Evans has turned into one of the better receivers. He's like right there with Antonio Brown, Michael. And when you see the what's going on in Tampa, are you buying on Jameis Winston if you're looking for a quarterback?
This week, for sure. I play the matchups with him. He's not a guy that I'm going to stick in my lineup every single week. But I agree with you. I like the matchup against Oakland this week. And Mike Evans, to me, is one of the most underrated wide receivers in fantasy football. Right now, he's second in targets among wideouts, and he's already had a bye. He is putting up double digits almost every single week in standard scoring leagues. And Jameis Winston only has eyes for Mike Evans. Mm-hmm. I would rather have Mike Evans for the rest of the year, if you look at the schedule, over just about every single wide receiver, including Antonio Brown, assuming Ben Roethlisberger is out for several more weeks. He's been that good, and the schedule is that favorable.
Let's talk running backs. Jay Ajayi, what a story. And now with Arian Foster retiring, Quiz Rogers has been great. Asiata, McKinnon's ankles have been a problem. Are you looking at waiver wire with any of these three? I can't believe Ajayi is still available.
I don't think he is. He's got to be long gone. And McKinnon, you know, I just never believed in him. I told people that Matt Asiata was the better pickup when Adrian Peterson went down, and I'll stick by that. But if you're looking at running backs off the waiver wire, now, in competitive leagues, these players are probably not going to be available, but you mentioned Rodgers. He's a guy I've been talking about for 3 weeks.
Yep.
Featured role while Doug Martin is out. Charles Sims is out as well. Looks really good. You've also got – now, there are some platforms out there that have Ty Montgomery as a wide receiver and a running back. There's other platforms that have him as a running back. Our platform keeps him as a wide receiver because that's what the Packers keep him at. But if he is a running back or a dual-purpose player, he is certainly a guy you need to pick up off the waiver wire as well, no question about that. But it's thin right now. It really is. If you're looking at the position, Devontae Booker, who had more snaps and work than when C.J. Anderson last night, he's going to be a guy who'll be a popular name off the waiver wire this week as well. Depending on the status of LeSean McCoy, we could see Mike Gillisley start. That was a mess last week. I don't know why Buffalo even decided to play LeSean McCoy at less than 100%. So there's some options out there. But if you're in competitive leagues, a lot of these players are probably already gone.
Talking with Michael Fabiano, senior fantasy analyst, NFL Network, NFL.com right there at the NFL Network studios. Let's go further with Ty Montgomery. There are not many players that are like him, that the running back, the wide receiver, and the special teams. J.J. Nelson over here now with Jerron Brown gone for the season is somebody that he's not Ty Montgomery, but I think he's kind of interesting. Is there other players like Ty Montgomery that you see, or is he really one that you look at this week and say, jump all over him?
Well, a wide receiver who's going to play running back? I mean, that's rare.
Yep.
Every time I see him take a carry and I see number 88, it's just odd because you never see that number in the backfield. Very rarely do you. So he is an unusual case. He is seeing a ton of snaps. I mean, his snap percentage has risen over the last couple of weeks. He is being targeted like crazy out of the backfield from Aaron Rodgers at 25 targets over the last couple of weeks. And he's also a great asset in PPR leagues. Maybe he's not getting into the end zone, but if he catches 10 balls, I mean, that is an absolute fantasy boon. And, of course, you can't expect that week in and week out, but here's the good news. You're playing Atlanta this week. That's a good matchup, and that's going to be a high-scoring game. So Montgomery, wherever he is slated, if he's running back, if he's wide receiver, he needs to be in your starting lineup this week. If you're talking about dual eligibility guys, I mean, Terrell Pryor comes to mind. There were some issues with that years ago with Danny Woodhead and Joe Webb, but this is probably the most prominent example of a guy who's playing two different positions. And regardless, he's a very good start this week.
Are you looking at J.J. Nelson at all, given the injuries with the Cardinals?
I'm not, because Carson Palmer looks terrible. I could not probably pick five better matchups for a quarterback than Carson Palmer this week, and I refuse to start him. There's something's not right. It's the same sort of thing as what's going on with Brock Osweiler, with the same sort of thing that's going on with Blake Bortles. Something's not right. Palmer has had the opportunity to exploit matchups like a couple of weeks ago against the Jets, couldn't do it. Road game going to the East Coast. Again, great matchup. I don't trust him. I trust him enough to get Larry Fitzgerald enough catches where he's going to be productive. But the impact of David Johnson, who to me is one of the two or three best running backs in the entire league right now.
Sure.
And Carson Palmer, again, I don't know what's up with him. He does not look like the same quarterback. And to be honest with you, he hasn't looked like the same quarterback since the end of last postseason.
I would agree with you on that.
So that's going to hurt the value of his wide receivers, J.J. Nelson included. He's a player I would keep an eye on, not necessarily someone I'm picking up right now.
Okay, we're getting a lot of questions about two players in particular, and then we'll get you out of here off one more. Doyle, Colts, Thomas, Saints. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing out of those two?
Pick them up. Michael Thomas has been good for 3-4 straight weeks now. I don't like the matchup this week against Seattle, but he should be owned in 100% of leagues. And Jack Doyle, who is he's probably got like one of the coolest names, you know. Jack Doyle sounds like a CIA informant or something like that. And we always talk about him on the show. I think he's Matt Money Smith's favorite player, but he is getting a lot of opportunities with Dwayne Allen down. Remember, he had a huge week one, and then he had 4 weeks where he did nothing. So he's out there on the waiver wire. And as long as Dwayne Allen is out, and remember, Rob Chudzinski loves to use the tight ends in his offense. He's always loved to use the tight ends in his offense. So Doyle is going to continue to see opportunities even this week against Kansas City. So if you need a tight end, pick him up. Another one that you can pick up and play this week as a streamer is C.J. Fedorowicz.
Michael Fabiano, senior fantasy analyst for NFL.com, NFL Network, the Hall of Famer with us. Before you get out of here, players you really like, players you want to stay away from this week.
Yeah, quarterback, sticking with Matt Ryan, had a mediocre week last week, but I think that's going to be a shootout against Green Bay. Russell Wilson, keep the faith this week. New Orleans is too good a matchup to not start him. We mentioned Jameis Winston, Derek Carr in that same game. And, you know, I like Dak Prescott this week, and I'm not being a Cowboys homer.
Yeah, you are.
Philadelphia's, I am not. The Philadelphia defense, if he was playing in Philadelphia, I'd be like, maybe I'm going to sit him. But on the road, listen, they've allowed 17-plus fantasy points to two or three quarterbacks on the road this year. So, and the one outlier was in Chicago when Jay Cutler got hurt and then Brian Hoyer came in. So I don't think that defense is as good on the road as it is at home. Quarterbacks I'm sitting this week, Phillip Rivers against Denver, no-brainer. Carson Palmer, can't trust him. Blake Bortles, can't trust him. Sam Bradford, can't trust him. And, of course, you can't trust Jay Cutler ever, especially against the Vikings. Running backs to start this week, Spencer Ware, Quiz Rogers, Kristen Michael, LeGarrette Blount, and Latavius Murray. Running backs to sit, Jonathan Stewart against the Cardinals. Jordan Howard, who I really liked. I don't know what has happened, but he's in a committee now, and he's playing Minnesota this week. Ryan Matthews has got a bad matchup. We mentioned McKinnon as a guy that you want to sit. Any Jaguars running back, doesn't matter who it is, you're going to sit him at wide receiver. I like Brandon Marshall, even if Joe Hayden is back. Cleveland's defense has been terrible against the pass. I have faith in Fitzgerald. I have faith in Doug Baldwin this week because of the matchup. Michael Crabtree's become basically a must-start. We talked about Ty Montgomery as a stardom. Guys, I'm sitting at wide receiver. Alshon Jeffrey, even with Cutler coming back, I think that helps him long-term, not this week against the Vikings. Jeremy Maclin has been bad, and he's been bad against bad defenses. That is a major red flag. DeSean Jackson hasn't been able to put up any numbers over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Michael Thomas, pick him up for sure, but the matchup this week, as I mentioned, not great against Seattle. So I see him more as a 3 flex rather than a 2, just based on the matchup. At tight end, I don't know that there's a better start that's not Rob Gronkowski than Jimmy Graham this week. Mm. Oh, cool. Greg Olsen is up there too, but he's playing the Saints. It's the revenge factor. Jack Doyle is a good start this week. So is Kyle Rudolph, and I mentioned C.J. Fedorowicz. Tight ends you want to bench, Zach Ertz, Kobe Fleener, Zach Miller, and Jason Witten.
Stay well. Appreciate the time as always, Michael. Thanks.
You too, bud.
There's Michael Fabiano right there from the NFL Network. Always good to catch up with Michael. All things fantasy football. Appreciate his time. As always, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.